The opinions and views expressed on the morning meeting do not necessarily represent the opinions and views of the management, staff, or advertisers of WTAD. That being said, the opinions expressed for the next hour are most likely correct and widely accepted amongst right-thinking people. It's time for the morning meeting.
Live from the Lincoln Douglas Building in downtown Quincy, it is the only local show taking a principled stand on the issues of the day. And my microphone's about to fall out of its holder. There we go, we're all fixed and ready to march forward now on the morning meeting. Sean Seacrest alongside Quaid. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the morning meeting. We're going to be joined very shortly by special guest Bryant Jackson Green this morning. Also coming up, can we free up a bed for a criminal who committed his crimes in the land of Lincoln to serve his time here? The answer is apparently no, and the time that he is serving has looks to be reduced. Illinois Speaker of the House, Michael Madigan, Governor Rauner going another round. Who's accusing whom of using this budget delay to build pressure to then cite a need for tax increases? And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but never got a chance to get into all the details of it. Now it has surfaced again. Rising costs of tertiary education. We'll figure out how this may impact your school budget as well. That's all coming up this morning on the morning meeting. Bryant Jackson Green is our guest this morning on the morning meeting. He's a criminal justice reform policy analyst at the Illinois Policy Institute. And we're looking forward to the chance to talk with him and follow up, because President Obama recently became the first sitting American president to visit a federal prison. Now, he used that visit to raise awareness of the need for criminal justice reform in this country. And it's not just a need that he sees, but the Republican governor of Illinois has also made noise to that end as well, Governor Bruce Rauner. Bryant Jackson Green, welcome to the show this morning. Glad to have you on the morning meeting.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So what prompted you to put this piece together? Your background is as a criminal justice reform policy analyst, and now was the time to do this because of why? Because of the president's visit?
Yes. So the president was, you know, as you said, the first sitting president to visit a federal prison, and he also had a major speech in front of the NAACP last week where he sort of highlighted the need for criminal justice reform, and he cited the, you know, now kind of well-known statistic that the U.S. is home to 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's prisoners. This has also been echoed by Governor Bruce Rauner, who formed a commission to reduce the prison population over the next 10 years by 25% to sort of get incarceration costs down and reduce some offenses that penalties have been probably higher than they needed to be.
Let me just come at this from the most basic, visceral, sort of man-on-the-street reaction, and that's, if you do the crime, you do the time. Are these trumped-up charges, or do we have too harsh of a sentencing law? What's sort of the movement right now to address this? Because it would seem to me that with prisons full, I doubt we're making up charges, just inventing charges to put more people behind bars.
Well, part of it is sort of a fiscal cost problem. So, you know, we spent $1.4 billion this year on the Department of Corrections in Illinois. And that's actually a huge increase from what we were paying just 5 years ago. But also, if you look at the numbers, 55% of the growth in prison admissions in Illinois have been for lowest-level felony, and they've largely been for people who've been convicted of nonviolent drug offenses. And we sort of have to think about where we want criminal justice resources to go, because we certainly want it to go towards, you know, violent offenders who pose a threat to public safety. But it's actually a lot less expensive and more effective to give someone who, say, suffers from a drug problem actual drug treatment and sort of keep them in the community where they can, you know, recover if they have employment, keep that and support their family, rather than just sort of incarcerating them and warehousing them for several years and not actually treating the root problems that's causing them to commit crime.
It's an interesting concept and one that has to be taken a hold of going forward. Bryant Jackson Green, our guest this morning, on the morning meeting.
I agree with the families needing to stay together, but if you understand the carrot and the stick, if you do something like Sean said, you do the crime, you do the time, and I understand, you know, nonviolent drug offenders, but if people don't think that there's a consequence to doing something, how's that going to stop them?
Of course, and like, you know, the purpose of reform is not simply just, you know, letting people out or not charging them for crimes. The point is that you have a punishment that's tailored to certainly punish them, but more importantly, focus specifically on rehabilitating someone so that they don't commit crime when they get back out of prison. Right now, Illinois has a 45% recidivism rate, which means 45% of people who exit Illinois prisons are returning within 3 years, and that's a pretty large failure rate. So there's clearly some sort of disconnect where many people aren't actually reforming their behavior in prison. And if prison's not doing that, then we need to actually figure out a way to get it to do that, to help people stop committing crime, because prison's not just about punishing, it's also about changing behavior, so crime will continue to go down.
Brian Jackson Green, our guest this morning on the morning meeting, talking about the need to reform not only in Illinois, specifically in Illinois, but also nationwide, our criminal incarceration policy and how that affects a myriad of things going forward. Brian, taking a look at what's going on specifically in Illinois, prisons overly full. We know that. Is it because we're a high crime state? Is it because we're a sort of hard-on-crime state? That's something that people don't often talk about. One of the quickest way to be elected in more conservative districts is to say that you're for, you know, longer criminal sentences, you know, harsher sentencing guidelines, sort of a hang-em-high mentality. Is this something that has to be addressed as well?
Yeah. I mean, so back in the earlier in the 90s and 80s, there was sort of a push throughout a lot of the country, really, to increase sentences for many offenses, especially drug offenses. So I think that part of the reform effort is going to be sort of changing how people look to respond to crime, and not just being simply tough on crime, because we're finding that merely giving someone a high sentence doesn't actually solve the problem of crime by itself, but sort of being smart about how we use our resources and smart about helping people change their lives and turn them around. Because, after all, 62% of people in prison right now have at least one child. So, and also 97% of everyone in prison will get out eventually. So it's not enough to punish them. We have to make sure that when they're coming out, they're actually on a path to get a job and support themselves and not be a drain on taxpayers by cycling through the correction system or being on welfare later on or just simply being homeless.
Brian Jackson Green, our guest this morning on the morning meeting. Okay, so instead of a nonviolent drug offender going to prison, they do a rehab type thing. Are these facilities that are already in place, or would these be facilities that would need to be built that are kind of in between what we have now and what we would like to have?
Well, there is this program called Adult Redeploy that the state has, where it basically funds these sort of diversion programs at the county level, and the county implements them. So they are there somewhat, and so far since 2011, they've saved the state about $50 million that would have otherwise been spent on incarceration in prison. So there is some of the infrastructure already there, but part of the reform should be focusing more resources on these diversion efforts, because they're relatively less expensive than, say, prison is. And then once we have more of infrastructure there, we can hopefully put more low-level drug offenders into these treatment programs to actually solve the problem rather than simply putting them in a state prison where it's not really getting addressed.
Brian Jackson Green, a criminal justice reform policy analyst at the Illinois Policy Institute, with us this morning talking about the incarceration, recidivism rate, and the costs, all of that associated with the Illinois prison system here on the morning meeting. Brian, I would ask you this. Is it the purview of the Department of Corrections to worry about this? Because you talk about addressing root issues. I think anyone with any intelligence understands that there are crimes of passion, of need, but can you address root issues with some other things? Some are just crimes of opportunity, crimes of desperation that can be addressed along the way. Is that the purview of the Department of Corrections? Should they just worry about handling those who are sent to prison by the justice system? Do we need another form of government? Illinois already lousy with all of these governmental entities, known to have more governmental units than any other state in the country already. I mean, Is it something that you fold into Department of Corrections, or do we look at something else entirely?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the most of the responsibility for changing thing really lies with legislators, because like any government agency, their Department of Corrections is just sort of carrying out the law as, you know, people in General Assembly, you know, write and set the law. So it's really going to have to come from, you know, changes and reforms to policy that the Department of Corrections can actually enforce. Now, the Illinois Constitution actually requires that sentences be set to be, you know, proportional for the crime, but also with the aim of restoring offenders to responsible citizenship later on. So there is a constitutional mandate for rehabilitation, essentially. So there is something, I mean, and there's certainly, you know, ways that the Department of Corrections could use their money more efficiently and more effectively. But truly more of a legislative issue, I think, that the General Assembly is going to have to tackle. And then once the Governor Rauner's Criminal Justice Reform Commission makes proposals later this year, someone's going to have to actually act to get these laws passed for change to actually come. It's not something that one agency can do on its own.
You mentioned that the Illinois Constitution has a call for rehabilitation. But how do you balance that with the recidivism rate that you mentioned? 45%. Is it a failure to rehabilitate, or is it a failure on behalf of the prisoner to want to change? Because I've seen drug addiction and drug issues firsthand. Unless that person is willing to change, you're not going to get change from them. And that change could mean a variety of things. With drug offenses, it could be a drug issue. If it's a serial string of burglaries, it could be a poverty issue. You're tackling so many different nuances at once. Not you per se, but we would be tackling so many different nuances, whether it's through legislation or rehabilitation programs, that it's tough to sort of hone in on a larger level than a case-by-case basis.
You know, that's absolutely true, and it sort of highlights one particular problem, which is reentry. So basically, you know, once you get out of prison, most people think that your main sentence and your main punishment is the prison time you served or probation. But in a lot of ways, you know, just finding a job, once you have a criminal record, can be difficult. There are hundreds of laws in Illinois that ban someone with a criminal record from working in a certain occupation. For instance, you can be forbidden from getting a license to be a barber if you have a criminal record. And the problem with that is, like, as we know, most people in prison have children. If you sort of cut off legal options for them to support themselves and find legitimate work, then that sort of only leaves the option for many people to engage in criminal activity. And if the choice comes down to, you know, can I do something illegal and support my family, or will my children go starving and hungry because I can't find a legal job, then the choice is, you know, pretty simple for you as a father or mother. You do what you have to do to support yourself and your kids. So a lot of the reform movement will also, besides just looking at sentencing, have to look at ways to change laws to stop, you know, government policy from keeping so many people out of work. Because if you can't support yourself, then it's really hard to put yourself on a legitimate life path, you know, free of crime, to support yourself and your kids.
Brian Jackson Green, our guest this morning on the Morning Meeting. Brian, we started this interview talking about President Obama being the first sitting president to visit a federal penitentiary. Some of the reforms that his administration is asking for actually coincide with some reforms that Governor Rauner has called for in the state of Illinois. Where do those kind of overlap? Because managing this prison population, the growing prison population and the growing cost of that prison population, is something that is eventually going to find its way into politics if it isn't there yet. You talk about budgets. We don't have one in place in the state of Illinois. So this isn't necessarily a red or a blue issue down the line. It's something that you're going to have to manage on many levels.
Certainly. And so both Governor Rauner and President Obama have mentioned the problem of first at least focusing on sort of the nonviolent drug offenders, because if there's a drug problem, for instance, or even if there's a mental health problem, there are many people in our prisons and jails who are suffering from mental health issues. To the extent we can treat those problems, which, again, is often a lot cheaper than the cost of incarceration in prison, we can really help solve the problem that leads people to go to jail and be incarcerated in the first place. So as far as that goes, I think the governor and President Obama are very much on the same page. You know, other things I think are that they both probably support are expanding diversion programs to actually do this, probably scaling back some mandatory minimum sentencing for offenses, and then letting judges sort of have more discretion to tailor a sentence based on someone's, you know, criminal history, background and individual needs rather than just focusing on a, you know, one-size-fits-all solution for every offender because, you know, sometimes circumstances are different and, you know, different people might need a different offense depending on the severity of a particular crime or how prone they are, likely they are to continue committing crime. So I think there is certainly some overlap on the federal level and state level about what needs to be done, and leaders on both levels seem to recognize that and be largely on the same page.
I'm continually surprised by the population level of nonviolent offenders that we keep incarcerated in this country. I'll get you out of here with this. The country seems to be having a changing attitude toward marijuana. Do you see that change sort of having a ripple effect on how we view sort of nonviolent drug offenses and scaling back, as you mentioned, some of those sentencing guidelines? Because marijuana has taken up the role of kind of the vanguard in this question about what recreational drugs we could seem to be coming to terms with in this country.
I think that's true. There's a connection in how people view the drug, and at the very least, you know, whether you're for decriminalization or legalization or not, I think a lot of people are agreeing that someone should not be in prison for marijuana possession, and that some people shouldn't be arrested, at least, for it. So that's, I think, somewhat easier issue that many people have sort of been brought into this conversation on. And there's actually currently a bill on the governor's desk, HB 218, that would treat possession of marijuana as a ticketable offense, sort of like a traffic offense, of $55 to $125 for low-level possession rather than a misdemeanor, which could, in some cases, lead to up to a year in jail. So I think that certainly just like from a cost perspective, many people have come to the conclusion that, marijuana possession shouldn't be something that many that were incarcerating and spending, you know, thousands of dollars to keep someone in a cage, essentially, for. So I think that's one part of the issue, but really criminal justice reform is much broader than that, and I think we'll have to touch on many more issues to really get the population and costs under control.
Brian Jackson Green, criminal justice reform policy analyst at the Illinois Policy Institute. Brian, where can people follow you?
Oh, I tweet at BryantJG on Twitter, and our website is IllinoisPolicy.org.
Brian Jackson Green, our guest this morning on The Morning Meeting. Brian, thank you for these insights. If this comes up before Governor Rauner and he moves on something, we'll have to have you back on the show to help us understand that policy move.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brian.
Where we go, others will follow.
That's who we are.
Even if it's not the best idea. The Morning Meeting on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.